save you. Whether it's home, life, or car insurance, the James Carlton State Farm team is here in your neighborhood, ready to provide you with a customer experience unmatched in the industry. Rates continue to drop as fewer cars are on the road. Now is as good a time as ever to make sure your family has the best protection at the right price. If your insurance costs a leg and an arm, call James Carlton State Farm, 314-961-4800.
Who's ready to wine and dine in style outside of your living room? Surf and Sirloin is. Located at the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, Surf and Sirloin is now open for dine-in lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. And, of course, still offering curbside carry-out service on our full menu. If you're ready for the comfort of white tablecloth dining in a relaxed environment in a family-owned restaurant serving the highest quality of beef and seafood for over 26 years, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, 822-3637, 822-3637, or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Looking for the most unique grocery store in St. Louis? That's easy. Star Specialty Grocer, located on Big Bend, one block north of Highway 40. This Richmond Heights treasure has been a part of the St. Louis community since 1979. Stars offers a wine selection second to none, with selections across price points, a unique selection of liquor, varieties of cheeses from around the world, fresh wild seafood flown in daily, and prime beef raised by local farmers. The employees pride themselves on product knowledge and customer service. They're open if you want to stop by or call them to place an order at 314-781-2345. That's 314-781-2345. You can browse beforehand, check out the staff's picks, and then put in your order online at starrs1.com. Remember, for the best in beef, seafood, liquor, and wine, visit Star's Specialty Grocer on Big Bend. And be sure to tell them 590 sent you.
Your home and chimney must be sealed to prevent freeze and thaw damage to bricks and mortar joints. Sealing these areas reduces the need for costly repairs if damage has not yet occurred. Allowing water, mold, and insects into the home and chimney result in the need for tuck pointing. Call Approved Home Improvements for your tuck pointing and sealing needs today. Now offering 50% off all tuck pointing services completed by May 30th. Call now to receive this offer. 314-780-6080.
Three Bay Barbecue and Bakery is located inside the West County Phillips 66 Station at Clayton Road and 141. They're offering carryout, delivery, and curbside pickup. Three Bay Barbecue and Bakery is open Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you can call ahead to place your order, fill up your car with gas, and drive home with a great meal of barbecue and your pick of their fresh homemade desserts, including gooey butter cake and so much more. Here's the number, 636-227-1208. That's 636-227-1208.
Gonna have myself. Frank, I like this kind of stuff. Queen.
I feel alive. And the world turning inside out. Yeah.
Look at that piano player. Great.
In ecstasy, so don't stop me now.
He's had a piece of celery. So when I go to Ballast Dental Care and Mary says, "Did you floss?" I can say, "Yeah, celery has its own dental floss built into it. Little strings in there.
Built-in floss.
You're kind of flossing and while you're eating it."
So that was Freddie Mercury playing piano.
It was?
Yeah.
Wow. That's right. I forgot. In the concert scene, he was at the keyboard on stage at Live Aid. Was that it?
Wembley.
Yeah, Wembley.
Yeah. So the reason I mentioned flossing and eating celery, and the only thing substance I can think of that has dental floss built into it, is because I have an appointment coming up at Ballast Dental Care. I don't have the date yet because I haven't called yet. I will get that done in the next couple of days, and I'll be happy to get back in there. That sounds ridiculous to people who cannot stand going to the dentist. I watched a movie the other night, and there's a scene in there, and somebody made a reference to something they dreaded. He said, like, going to the dentist. And I thought, well, there's somebody else who doesn't go to Ballast Dental Care, because if you did, you wouldn't say that. This is the place I like to say you didn't think existed. If you're a listener and you're AM and the P, I mean, you've been listening for years, it really is time, if you haven't yet, to make an appointment. I don't know what you're waiting for, unless you're just that scared. But at some point, it's going to hit you, that the longer you put off going to the dentist, the bigger deal it's going to be, and the more extensive the work will be, and you run the risk of infection. Gum disease is not anything to mess with. So I have a place. I've been inviting you for years, like 18 years. I've gone there myself 47 years. Never wanted to go anywhere else. And I can go somewhere else to the dentist. And if you think, well, you wouldn't because they're advertisers. I was going there long, like 25 years before they advertised. I never have wanted to go anywhere else, and I don't think you will either. So all I'm asking is this one appointment. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, where yes, they're practicing for those of you it's important to, and I know you're out there. They do all the precautionary stuff you want them to do. They have all the PPE equipment. You'll be fine. Corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Scott Sherman is in the house. He's an attorney. And every Thursday he helps people. He's helped a lot of people with free legal advice. Doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is call. Somebody smart will jump on the only line we have open right now. 314-8. The reason I give two numbers, I don't know which one is open. Just start dialing. One of them will get through here. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Give it up for Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Brent. How you doing?
Doing great. Ready to jump in?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's go to Dennis, who's been holding for 22 minutes. Wow, thank you. That's some patience you have there. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Dennis, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, and good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, here's what I have. Had a notification in the mail about a recent field investigation, and they said there are rocks located within the county's right-of-way. So it's on our property, but they say it's in the right-of-way. It's at an intersection. And they said they have to go. They have to be removed. Now, there's about, I'd say, 12 other residents in the neighborhood that have this too and receive this notification. They said that if somebody would run over them, that they could sue us and the county could be sued. So, to me, it's like if they run over it, they're on your property, they're trespassing. So, I would like your opinion on this.
Scott, I'll let you just take this, but the thinking that if somebody runs over it, they're trespassing doesn't fly simply because if somebody gets hurt in your yard, they might still be trespassing. But like the snow and ice we talked about, Scott, if you don't make some sort of reasonable attempt to clear it off, and then the Amazon person delivers and breaks their leg or something, yeah, you're kind of in trouble. Go ahead, Scott.
So I'm not exactly clear on what it is that is encroaching or what it is on the yours and the neighbor's property. I missed that.
I didn't get that either. What is it that could run over?
Stones, and they've been there.
Well, who sent the letter?
The St. Louis County Transportation Public Works.
And I wouldn't do anything except talk to a real estate lawyer, my insurance agent, and see if they drive over something, would you be liable? If it's in the street, if it looks like a thoroughfare and or a sidewalk, I don't know that you are responsible for that.
Now, there's no sidewalk. It's just grass, and it's at an intersection. And when people turn, and a lot of times they're in a hurry, they kind of fly through here. They do put ruts in there. And these have been there 20, 30 years. I've talked to the neighbors. They've been there quite a long time.
I'm leaning towards Frank's trespasser analogy, and that's this, and yours too, Dennis. You owe no duty to a trespasser. Now, if it's something that has become a common, either cut through, this usually happens in beach residences where people cut through the property. Or my neighborhood, there's a cut through that goes through some guy's, you know, driveway back to where the 7-Eleven is. And it becomes sort of a non-enforced easement. Then, yeah, maybe you could be, but then you have homeowner's insurance. So I wouldn't remove anything. I wouldn't touch anything because that's the government's job. And unless it's something where it's on your property and it is a dangerous condition, not some far-out idea that somebody might skid or drive too fast on stones and peel and out and flip over. I wouldn't put it in the circular file, but I might sort of take a magnet and put it on my refrigerator. It looks like it's some sort of notice provision to try and get the county out of being responsible. But if somebody gets hurt, their lawyer is not going to care that the county sent you a letter. They're gonna file claims against everybody. So nobody has been hurt in the last 20 or 25 years. Is that right? That you know of?
The one lady next door is in her late 50s, and she said when she was a teenager, she lived there, and the stones have been there for a long, long time. And like I said, not only this residence here, but other residences in the neighborhood, and it's just to be a detriment for people to run over your lawn.
Yeah, this is a solution looking for a problem. And if they want to really get serious, then they'll cite all of you under some ordinance that you're not maintaining your property, and you'd have to deal with the local satellite municipal court. Right now, I wouldn't throw it away, but I'd put it on your refrigerator, and it's probably something that will never happen. But I would talk to first your insurance agent and make sure that that part of your property is covered if it's exposed to the public. And if it's covered, who cares? And if it's not, then maybe either adjust your coverage or talk to a real estate lawyer. But it just seems like something that's the government's job to clean up, and I don't know why they're blaming or putting it on you.
Well, they did put in here that if it's not removed, they will come and remove it at no cost.
Great. Boy, what a deal.
Perfect.
I wish they would do that with my grass.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
If you don't cut your grass, we're going to cut it at no cost. I would take that deal.
You bet.
Well, I asked him, I said, then what happens when people run over it? Well, we'll come out and fix it. We'll plant seed. We'll smooth the ruts out. And I said, how long is that going to take? You know, that could take a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They tell you that. They're not going to do that.
Dennis, these are the problems I love people to bring because it's not a problem.
Yeah, and you know, they say that it's their right of way, and it's a considerable amount of feet what they consider their right of way. And I said,
it adds them to the liability for the plaintiff's lawyer if the person gets injured. More money for the potential injured person. But for this kind of stuff, for sidewalk cases, you know, we've got this guy now who's thinks he's in charge of our subdivision. Who, Frank, if I told you his name, you would know exactly who it was. He's in radio.
Oh,
and he sent out an email to everybody that they have to pick up the gumballs that fall out of the tree.
Oh,
the trees are on the property that belongs to the city, and the sidewalk is maintained by the city, and he's now moved in and decided he's the gumball supervisor. So fortunately, we don't have any gumballs, but if we did, I'd leave them there because, you know, whatever. But these things are, you know, if you're really worried about it, I'd clean it up. But it sounds like the way I feel is, leave broken gravel lay.
But why, if he's worried about it, why would he clean it? Let them do it. They said they do.
No, he said on an email that
he can't lose.
Everybody needs to clean it up. And, you know, I don't know why. It just seems like he's worried about everybody else.
And Dennis, it sounds to me like your case is not anything you should lose any sleep over.
Especially since they're going to clean it up for free. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
Best part.
Well, you know, I'm not arguing that. It's just I'm afraid what's going to happen after that with the cars. You know, if they kind of run over them a little bit when they're there, they're certainly going to cut through when they're not there. And it'll be an ongoing process of keeping it cleaned up. You know, you try to keep your property value up.
One of the other problems with starting that cleanup stuff is you've then set a standard. And once you start, you know, scraping your driveway or shoveling in the snow on your driveway, is now you've set the standard that you got to shovel your snow in the driveway. It's nice, but in places where there are natural accumulation of snow and ice and there aren't ordinances to do it, you don't have to. You know, so you don't have to do it. In this case, I don't even know why they're sending you the letter, because they're willing to do it if you don't do it. So I wouldn't do it. Because once you start doing it, now you're the guy that used to clean up the stones, and how can you stop doing it? You've almost set your own standard for it. And then if somebody gets hurt, you've almost taken a liability by assuming that duty of cleaning up that gravel. So unless you're worried about somebody you know getting hurt on it, or you getting hurt on it, I'd leave it the way it is.
Okay.
Bye, Dennis. All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. For listening, and there's one line open because Dennis just dropped out. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Dan, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, good Dan. Afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm aiming to PM first.
Well, of course you are.
Hey, I got a comment for Scott, and then I got a question for him. Hey, Scott, I want to thank you very much for taking over the sponsorment of Tim Woodburn over there to stay with this radio station and this show, because he's a big part of the show, and I want to thank you personally for that.
Can you edit that out? Can you cut that out?
Thank you,
absolutely.
Dan.
No,
Dan,
no,
I'm not letting
that go. Cut that out. Cut that out. Don't ever call here and say that again, Dan.
Tim, I didn't know you had a brother named Dan. You never mentioned that. You're welcome, Dan.
Dan, checks in the mail, buddy.
The question I got for you is that 2 weeks ago, it was pouring down rain. I was coming back from Effingham from doing a delivery. And I'm about to get ready to cross over into St. Louis, and the state police pulled me over because it's a cargo van. It's dirty. They're wanting to see if I'm hauling anything that I'm not supposed to be hauling. And when they pulled me over, he got my license from me and my registration and all that and went back to check. And when I came back, I'm on my phone talking to my dispatcher, letting them know what's going on so they know that I'm not running late. Well, he says, well, you're on your phone. I'm going to give you a ticket for it. The man gave me a $164 ticket.
For talking on your phone?
For talking on my phone. He said that you're not supposed to be on your phone whatsoever, and this is in Illinois. And he says he wrote me a ticket for operating a motor vehicle while using an electronic communications device.
All right, this guy sounds like a jerk.
He is.
Yeah, he just sounds like a jerk.
And it's just total false. And I want to fight this thing or do something about it, because I don't know if this is something, if I pay this, if this is going on my license for points or something like that from over there or whatever. I mean, it's there's speeding tickets that's not $164 over there.
Yeah, there's a couple issues here. I don't like that at all, because I don't believe you're operating the vehicle while talking. Now, was the motor running at the time?
Yeah, I was pulled over with my flashers on.
Is this in St. Clair County?
Yes.
Did they send you to the courthouse in Belleville?
Yeah.
Room 108 or 109 or
whatever? Yeah.
Okay. The judge in that case is going to be a lot more sympathetic than this guy, because you're not operating the vehicle while on the phone. The intent of the law was to keep people from driving distracted, and you're not driving at all. And while you're technically maybe operating because the engine was running, the spirit of the law was not to get people for being on their phone. What if you had a flat tire and you pulled over and
called the AAA?
Yeah, and you're calling an emergency or calling 911 if you pull over and you saw a big crash. You're operating your vehicle while talking. That case will be dismissed. Now, is it going to cost you money to get the case dismissed? Yeah, that's the problem. Is you could do it yourself, but you know, I've got some lawyer friends of mine over in St. Clair County that'll do this case. If we could work it out so that you can get rid of the ticket, because the second part of it is a really important part, and that is you drive for a living and you have a CDL license, and any moving violation on there is bad, and Illinois doesn't have points. So if they give you court supervision, even during that court supervision period on this moving violation, you could get your CDL pulled or lose your job. So it's probably going to cost you more than the amount of the assessed value of the ticket, but I think we can get rid of it. So I'm talking to one of my guys and see if they'll be willing to do this for you as cheaply, inexpensively, but as professionally as possible to get rid of this unnecessary and really harassing ticket. You were not you were not driving while talking on the phone. You were doing really something emergent, which was notifying the owner of the vehicle that has been stopped and the reason for it.
And it was at nighttime at 11:13 p.m. and he put on the ticket that road conditions was dry, and that is a total lie. It had been pouring down rain all evening, and it was still pouring down rain, and the streets were all wet and everything. Well, everything about this ticket is totally false.
That doesn't make any sense, though. Why would he put it was dry? It would have been to his advantage to put the roads were wet, because then he could charge you with driving too fast for conditions. Why would he do that?
I have no idea, but it's all on the ticket right here.
Well, I think about the parents of young people, young women in particular, on the highways that for some reason may have gotten a flat in Illinois. And to get safe, to either call their parents or call the police.
That's another good example.
To write that young woman a ticket in one of the most terrifying situations where women have been abducted and murdered at huge numbers on the highways of this country, in Illinois in particular, to then deter people from using their phones as an emergency device for a ticky-tack technicality because the motor was running is something that's not worthy of wearing that uniform.
Dan, what does it say on the ticket to describe your violation with your phone? How's it described?
It's got exactly, this is what it says: operating a motor vehicle while using an electronic communication
that'll
device.
Be thrown completely out. You were not operating the vehicle. You were sitting
no,
in
no, I was pulled over to side. I
no,
mean,
you'll win this.
And that's something that is used in some cases that I agree with, where someone is impaired so badly that they're parked and the motor's running and they're drunk or high and they could be a danger. The technicality of operation is that they're in the driver's seat. But that's not what the law on driving with a cell phone or using a cell phone was for. It's not for that. It's for impaired driving, distracted driving. It's an abuse of that officer's law enforcement sort of powers, I think.
I am a supporter of the police, and when I say that, I mean all police except the jerks. So I want to play the devil's advocate just because I think somebody should here. Dan, when he pulled you over, he walked up to your car. What were the first words that were said?
I said, good evening. He says, did you know that he gave me a break on something else, and then when he pulled me over, he was pulling me over to see what I had in the back of my vehicle, because from Effingham all the way to St. Louis, it's a traffic that they travel delivering drugs.
Okay, back up though. Back up.
You said pulled over many times.
Okay, hold on.
He pulled me over.
You said good evening, and then he said what?
He said that I am pulling you over to check and see what you have in the back of your vehicle. Or anything like that, he says, because this is a major drive-through from Effingham to St. Louis for delivering drugs in these type of vehicles.
Okay, first of all, he can't do that unless you let him do it. He can't look in there. But you obviously
he didn't look in the vehicle. There's glass on the vehicle. He could look right in there and see exactly what it was.
Okay, and then when he looked, then what happened? What was said?
He went back. He asked for my driver's license and my registration and my insurance card. I gave him all that. I go back there. He goes back to his vehicle. He says, I'll be back in a couple minutes. And then there was another cop that pulled up from behind him. And I'm saying, what the heck is going on? It's just backing him up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he's back there for about 10, 15 minutes. They're talking. They finally come back up, and he gives me this ticket here. He says, I'm giving you a break on swerving in between the lines and that stuff. He asked me if I've been drinking. I said, I don't drink and that stuff. And the weather conditions was very wet. I mean, I could get a weather report proving it. And I'm driving. He says, you were in between the lines and that stuff, which is a total lie, too. He didn't give me no ticket for that. He only gave it to me because he said I was talking on my phone while he was back there getting ready to issue me this ticket.
I have one question for Dan. You didn't get on the phone until after you had pulled over and he had come to the vehicle. You weren't on before that, right?
No. I wasn't on the phone at all. I'm looking straight
ahead.
Get
the cell phone records for that day, so that whoever it is that represents you can take it in and go, my guy didn't get on the phone until after he he was pulled over, and the purpose of the pullover was because it's a known drug hub, and he was pulling him over for suspicion of that. And while I disagree with that, there have been court cases, not the Supreme Court, but many federal court jurisdictions have allowed and upheld pulling people over in suspicious places at suspicious times, which doesn't seem like a reasonable suspicion at all, but that's been upheld. So I don't know why he had to make up that you were going in between the lines. He had a legal right to pull you over because of the suspicious nature of where you were and what time it was. But then to throw this ticket on you, it seems to me not only not to be in the spirit of the law, but also really to be harassing. And it's wrong. So the fortunate thing is you're going to be in a court that's much more sympathetic to you than to that ticky-tack ticket.
And one last thing. Have you ever gone before a judge before?
Oh, I've been in front of the judge a few times, but, I mean, nothing major or anything like that. I got a ticket one time up in Vandalia for going in too fast, which I did, and I ended up having to go to court, and I paid that. I was guilty of that, but there's no way I'm guilty of this.
Okay. I just have one piece of advice. When you go, wear a coat and tie. I'm serious.
Okay.
Wear a coat and tie. It shows respect, and they like that. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Dan.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Scott, I will email you and try to get this information from you, okay?
You got it.
I believe it's lawoffices@gmail.com.
No.
Lawoffices of Scott Sherman.
No.
@gmail.com.
No. No. Tim Woodburn knows.
No.
lawoffices@gmail.com.
Singular. Office singular.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Well, you should. What a horrible thing to do. Mess up that email. Thank you, Dan.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Dan.
Now, the reason I said coat and tie, one of my sons disputed a ticket and should have. And when he went to court, he had on a suit and tie, a jacket, sport coat and a tie. And you know what the judge said to him? The judge said, look around this courtroom. Nobody else, everybody else looked like they just crawled out of the gutter or you know, came off a job site. He said, young man, he said, you're the only one in here who bothered to show this court respect by dressing appropriately. This is dismissed.
I agree with that.
He had looked at it and knew it was no big deal anyway, and he just right away said, because he was polite, and my advice to Dan or anybody else, wear a coat and tie.
Sure.
And unless you're female, of course, and don't raise your voice. Don't lose it. Just be calm and state your case. And you'll probably be okay, depending on what the charge is.
Where would you wear to somebody's wedding?
Well, that's a bit much.
Now, I say that because some people wants to come in. Well, no, I mean, you might wear no tie. You might just wear a button-down shirt.
Not in the wedding, just attending.
Attending a wedding. Okay. Not a tuxedo, but where would you wear attending somebody close to you's wedding? If they're cut off short, and you know what I mean.
All right, that'll work.
Now, I'll have to tell the lawyer to wear a coat and tie because it's St. Clair County, but yes, I agree 100% with what you're saying, and that is show respect to the courts, and that's how the process of civilization works. You may not like the outcome. You may not like the inconvenience, but if you are there to treat it with respect, it should pay dividends for you, in being treated fairly.
It usually works. Let's go to Sean. Sean, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. How are you?
Good. I'm even the PM.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you and Frank and the gang for this service. It really is. I don't miss it on Thursdays. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Question I have is not actually something that hasn't happened yet, and it's not as interesting as the last guy, I have to admit. But I have a tree that's growing in my front yard, and the roots are kind of growing around the water company's, the pipe, or the meter.
Yes, sir.
And my neighbor, said to me, he's like, if that tree keeps growing, it's going to bust that pipe. And I don't know, would I be liable to the water company for that if that's the case?
Liable for what?
The damage to their water pipe.
Oh.
Yeah, if they have to come in and, do whatever they do.
Now, I'm gonna take a guess. I'm just guessing. I'll turn it over to Scott. Yes, Scott.
I agree. I believe that if your tree's roots destroy
cheese.
Something.
No, no, not no trees, rat boy, not cheese. Trees. We're talking about trees.
If your cheese if your tree's roots damage those pipes or something underground, you're going to be liable for it. What you don't want to have happen is have them damage those water pipes, then have the water company come in with a big, giant backhoe, dig out your entire front yard, pull all of that PVC, or if it's that old clay pipes, replace it, and then throw a big, fat bill on you.
Yeah, that's a lot more expensive than tearing the roots out.
Yeah, this is the one where, you know, and this goes for not just, and you're very conscientious, but I have neighbors that could care less about what their tree, which is almost like Jack and the Beanstalk, the way it's growing now. If it rips up concrete or the pavement or the fence, they just don't care about that. And if I cared enough about it, I could get on them for their tree damaging my property. So get after it for an easy fix, which would be, you know, have a tree service come out, make sure the water company's lines are all marked, make the space around it, or even coordinate with the water company and say, look, I don't want this to damage your lines. Spend a few $100 and save yourself. But the answer, yes or no, I'd say yes. If your tree's roots damage those pipes, you are liable for it.
Okay, well, I kind of knew that was the answer, but I didn't, you know, I didn't want you to say it. But
be careful in the digging, because that,
I'm not going to dig it. The tree's like 50 foot tall.
Okay.
So it's like it's going to cost $10,000 to take down.
No, no, you don't have to take it down. Just, you know, they're doing that in my neighborhood. They've got a big giant tree that in their front yard that doesn't outgrew itself about 25 years ago. But they're cutting the roots out so that they can put in a walkway, because the walkway is all, you know, messed up and uneven. But you could do that without destroying the tree or taking it down. That's not going to kill the tree. But get somebody who knows how to do that. Make sure all the lines are marked, not just for water, but for gas and for whatever else is there under that dig right, and pay other people to do that. But you don't have to pay $10,000. You have to take it down. You just got to free up that space.
Well, I appreciate your advice, and thank you again for your service.
All right, Sean, thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
One line is open because Sean has been taken care of. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. If one is busy, call the other one, because I know there's a line open. Let's go to Perry. Perry, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman. Perry? Oh, Perry. Hello, Perry. Going once, twice, gone. Now there are two lines open. 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, and hello, Frank.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Good, good. First of all, I'm AM and the PM.
Very important. Thank you.
Second of all, I did want to tell you that you helped me out with the financial matter year and a half ago. I wasn't able to get on the show, but I did shoot you an email, and you got back to me the next day. And it worked out very well in my favor, and I appreciate that. But
you're welcome.
The reason I'm calling... I'm sorry?
You're very welcome.
Oh, thank you. The reason I'm calling today, I've been in my house for 12 years now. Both my neighbors on the east and west are older people, but the one gentleman passed. And of course, when I moved in, you know, you get the survey and all that with the title company, but the house to my east, when the gentleman passed, the new neighbor had a new survey done, and his survey claims that my fence is a foot and a half over my property line. Now, he's an older gentleman and doesn't seem to be a problem, but if in the future he wants to say, well, my survey says your fence is a foot and a half over, but when I moved in, obviously I had a survey that said it was right where it should be, what's
How do you know what his survey says?
When he moved in, I saw the people out there. When I came home, they had, you know, the little stick with the little red flag on it.
Right.
And it was, I mean, where they put the stick, it was over. And I saw him one day. He's a nice guy. I mean, he hasn't been like, hey, you got to move your fence or anything like that.
Is that how he talks with that rough voice like that?
No.
Jack Buck. Jack Buck. Move it over.
Kevin, I'm going to step in here right now and say this. You, and we've had this happen before, are anticipating a problem that may not ever be a problem. It's the solution looking
for... Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But I guess you're thinking ahead, and in case he would come and say, hey... Your fence is on my own. Then what would you be able to do or not to do? I'd be inclined to not even worry about it until that day comes. But Scott, what happens here? Whose survey is right, and how do you determine whose survey is right?
Even if the neighbor to the east survey is correct, how long, Kevin, have you been living in that house?
Oh, 12 years.
Okay. Is it Missouri?
Yes.
Missouri has a 10-year adverse possession statute, which means even if there's an oops on the survey and you are encroaching on your easterly neighbor's property, you could go to the courthouse and quiet the title and get that strip. And it stacks and it runs with new neighbors. So it's not 10 years and then it starts over when somebody else moves in. It's 10 years and it doesn't matter how many people move in. Problem is, one, it can make for an uncomfortable situation with your neighbor. And Frank's mentioned this before. There can be, if it does come up, a more, neighborly way to settle it. Offer him some money for it. Yeah, I'll give you $5,000 or give you a couple grand, and we'll just recalculate how the plat is lined up, how we describe the property. I would say legally, have a conversation with a real estate lawyer in anticipation that maybe somebody might come and knock on your door and say something about it. Then you'll be prepared for some action. I wouldn't bring it up unless they're going to come after you. And if they come after you and say, hey, you got to remove your fence, that's when you say, aha, adverse possession, I'll see you in court. So make sure that you don't cause a problem that isn't there, but also you're prepared. So if you want to talk to a real estate lawyer about how to be prepared in case that day comes, or if you really want that strip because you're worried about it, get in touch with me. I'll get you in touch with somebody that knows how to do that, and they can either negotiate the deal or they can quiet the title in your favor. But adverse possession is a legal thing where you take something that's not yours in real estate and end up owning it if you want.
So what about this scenario? Like if the neighbor decided, well, that's my property, and just said, I don't want you to do anything, but you need to know that fence is mine now because it's on my property. If they just wanted to say, I want you to know it's my fence, okay, you wanted the fence there anyway. Who cares whose it is? He's not tearing it down. He maybe wants to paint it or something. That's the other possibility.
Yeah, if you don't care about that, about the strip, then you can just let them have the fence.
Sometimes I think the worst thing you can do, Kevin, is call attention to something that might not be that big a deal to this guy.
Oh, right. He just mentioned it because of his survey. One other thought I had. Move into a home, doesn't the title company with their survey, they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they charge you for it, but do that.
Yeah, and they screw it up. They've got insurance for that. They can be sued for selling the wrong boundaries, and they can be liable for that. So sometimes there are actions going back against the survey or the title company because they're supposed to clear title. And if you've got the wrong boundary, you haven't cleared the title. It has to be precise. The guy you're talking to on your eastern side, is he the outgoing selling neighbor or is he the incoming buying?
No, he's the one moving in.
He's the one?
Had the survey, and he's the one that said, and he wasn't, you know, Mike Shannon about it, but he just mentioned
he mentioned it for a reason, and did he follow? In other words, if he says, you know, your fence is a foot and a half into my property, okay, then what? Did he say, I don't like that?
He mentioned it 2 months ago when he moved in, and he mentioned it again last week.
If he mentioned it twice,
you know your fence is on my property, buddy. You better buy me a 48-pack.
when you take a fence out, you can't move it and have it like it was.
No.
Did you take say
you
I take
totally
a fence
take
to
it out and put it back in? But what I'm saying is that my title company, when I bought the house, they said that was my property line. Yeah, and well, that's my fence.
Somebody's wrong. Yours or his. And why not find out if maybe their surveys are wrong?
Real estate lawyer consultation. Because the next time the guy's going to talk to him about it.
Yeah, third time.
Is going to be this afternoon about 6:02.
Yeah. And Scott, is it not possible their survey could be wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's just as possible that Kevin's survey is wrong as that Kevin's survey is right.
Yeah.
And since Kevin's survey was supposedly right 12 years ago, nobody complained then how do we know this is? But the options you have are, you got a couple. Find out if it's wrong. Find out if it's right. Find out if you've adversely possessed it. Find out if you haven't. Find out what the solution is, either diplomatically or otherwise.
I hope it's your property, and I'll tell you why, because you both win. If it's yours and your fence is actually on your property and not his and he thought it was his, you win and he wins, because now he can go after that title company and go, hey, you sold me property that I didn't get.
And he gets a free fence.
You bet.
Because he can use that as his boundary line, too. But Frank's right.
And what I was thinking, too, if, okay, that's my fence. Okay, I just take the fence out. Now you got to go out and buy a fence.
Unless he doesn't want a fence.
Yeah.
He's got dogs.
Oh. Well, again, nothing has happened. It may not happen, but he's mentioned it twice. That's not good, but it may not get mentioned again. I made up a slogan about two years ago. I just made this up. Let sleeping dogs lie. I just made that up.
Thank you very much.
I remember your other one, good fences make good neighbors. I remember you saying that several years ago.
I wrote that.
Yeah. That's yours also.
So, Kevin, the fact that he's mentioned it twice, not exactly good. He may mention it a third time, but until he does, I wouldn't worry about it. And if he does, let's throw that other possibility in there again, that you and he could work out something that's agreeable to both of you. Here's $500 or whatever, and let's change the survey.
Right. And you know what? It's something I'm not worried about. If something does come up, I'll just email Scott, and I know he'll get right back to me, and we'll resolve it.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin, what county is this? I'm just curious.
St. Louis County.
All right. Very good.
All right, Kevin. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. That guy, I hate it when a caller has a better voice than we do. That guy had a better radio voice.
Right away, I thought that was the guy calling to say.
Better voice than everybody but Dan. Let's go to, Stan. Stan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Hi, Stan.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. No, we got you.
Okay, good. Well, I got the first question I have for you. Can you actually charge somebody make a complaint against somebody for aggravation and annoyance?
Man,
that's too broad a question. What's the annoyance or what's the aggravation?
Well, because I want to file a complaint against Tim, because every time he does his newscast and gets to the weather, he says, and it is currently 80 degrees. Outside. Thanks, Tim. I just want to make sure, that's 80 degrees outside as opposed to in the studio.
Oh, it's 72 degrees inside. I just deleted that part of the weathercast. I can add both if you want.
I think there is an exception for Tim.
Yeah, maybe for Tim. No, and this is really trivial, Scott, but I'm just curious about this. I've got my plates on my car are not only expired,
We missed the last part. We cut out on us. You said not only expired, and then we lost it. But what?
Okay, not only expired, but they actually belong to my other car, okay, because I ended up having to buy another car through a private seller, and I finally got the title. It took them almost 2 months to even give me a title, which I couldn't understand. I kept asking them for it, and they finally sent it to me. But then with the DMV being closed, I got pulled over last Friday, and the officer couldn't have been, he was very nice, very polite, but he took my license, and I have insurance on this car now that I've got. It's actually for this car, so I've got insurance on it also. But he came back and he said, well, the reason I pulled you over was because the plates are for a different car. And I said, yeah, it's for a Toyota 4Runner. And he said, yes, they are. And then I just explained to him, I haven't had a chance to get to the DMV, and I just got the title. So my question is, I mean, he wasn't really harassing me, but the whole point is, does he put something in his system, or am I just going to keep getting pulled over every time a cop's behind me until I get this rectified? Do you have any idea?
Go ahead, Scott.
To answer the question, you're going to keep getting pulled over for having the wrong plate on the wrong vehicle. You're better off with expired tags, especially now. I just saw one the other day in the line at a fast food place. Year and a half. I mean, you know, we haven't had a COVID for a year and a half. But they're letting March and April's things, you know, slide. But when you take tags or you take a plate and you transfer it from one vehicle to another vehicle, you are asking for huge problems. When you do it through a private,
yeah, you're lucky.
Seller.
You got a really nice guy. He wasn't in a bad mood.
Now you can use tags from one to another, but you need to do that as part of the sale and get it registered with the DMV. They're going to understand some of that COVID. But do you still have the 4Runner?
I do.
Yeah, that you can't do that. Go put those things back. You're better off with no plate. I've seen some people drive around with no plate.
Put the expired ones on. We're out of time, but that's your best bet. It'd rather be stopped for that than for what you're doing.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Stan. We got to jump, Scott Sherman next Thursday.
You bet.
All right. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you
guys.
This is the second week for Bertarelli to be an advertiser. They're the cutlery business and the PPE business, personal protection equipment. I just want to read you an email that I just got. I don't have the date. I didn't print the date. Probably came in yesterday, and I was checking emails in the morning. It says, Frank, I thought I'd let you know I just came from Illinois today to purchase 10 bottles of hand sanitizer and a box of KN95 masks. Both are excellent quality. Best $183.71 I've ever spent since this thing started. And yes, I let them know I heard about them on your show. Thank you for the tip. And signed, John, a 30-year listener to this show. John, thank you. To the rest of you who maybe you have a business or wherever you work, you're in charge of the PPE equipment and acquiring it and finding it. Let me make that really easy for you. Bertarelli, the name you know for cutlery and for sharpening lawnmower blades and hedge trimmers and chainsaw blades in addition to knives, they also have a warehouse full of PPE stuff. Again, PPE, personal protection equipment. And when I say PPE, I'm talking about I'm talking about gloves and masks, different kinds of masks. I'm talking about the little footy things that the service people put on before they come in your house because they don't want to mess up the carpet. They have that. They have the plexiglass panels that all these businesses have now been forced to put up so that, oh my goodness, you don't cough on somebody. They have that. And I know that a lot of people have no choice and have to wear it wherever they work. If that's your business and you need that stuff, you need to know about Bertarelli. Bertarelli is going to become your supplier for that stuff. And, John, I really appreciate not only the email about Bertarelli, but the 30 years of loyalty to this show. This is a family business. This is a family business that has four brothers, Marco, Frank, Bob, and John, three other family members, seven members of the family. Been around about 70 years, a wonderful, when they say shop local and support local, well, here's a good one right here. Do that, Bertarelli. And, of course, don't forget to take your knives in there and get them sharpened. It doesn't take long, and usually sometimes they can do it while you wait. You'll have a sandwich and come back, they'll probably be ready. For PPE, for cutlery, Bertarelli, Bertarelli, Bertarelli. co.com. Can't remember it? I don't blame you. I couldn't either. Go to facebook.com/AM and the PM or frankopinion.com. It'll link you right to their website. By the way, they're on Marconi down on the hill. So while you're there, go have yourself a great meal. There's plenty of it on the hill. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
We're all changing things up to stay healthy. We're here 24-7. 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. The rain is on the way in downtown St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number three, the large morning show of the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion.